here in Psalm 33. We'll look here today. I'll read this whole psalm here. It's 22 verses to get us going. Psalm 33. It says, I rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery, in an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people to none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike, He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. We're going to talk today about the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. And Lord, we are just grateful here to be in Your house, Lord. Grateful that we can open the Word here today and speak the truth from it. And now, Lord, I do need You. And I pray, Lord, You fill me with Your Spirit. And I pray You give me Your words here today. And I pray, Lord, You speak to us. I pray, Lord, You'll draw us near to You. I pray, Lord, You'll convict us of some sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Lord, I just pray, Lord, You have Your will and way with us here this afternoon. I pray You'll not let us leave the same way we came in. Lord, have Your will and way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we live in a world that is cursed by sin. Ever since Adam sinned in the garden, you know, our world is just filled with problems ever since then. And because of this, some people are more apt to focus on their problems rather than the blessings that God has given us. Too many times we go about life and we get so concerned or so caught up in ourselves, you know, that we're not praising the Lord. We're not praising the Lord, and we need a reminder every once in a while. And so, Lord willing, this will be that reminder to praise God. He says there in verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I mean, just think about that. All you got to do is look around and you see the goodness of the Lord all around us. And that's just screaming out for us to praise the Lord. The blessings of God far outweigh, they far outnumber any problems that we have. And like a lot of us say here, we are all better than we deserve. Amen. We can all say that. And it's the true thing. We are all better than what we deserve. But Psalm 33, it is a psalm of praise to God. God is a sovereign God. God is in control. He is the center of the unity. He's the center of everything, and He is in control of everything. And 13 times within this psalm, the psalmist here praises God, and he lifts Him up as God, as Lord. L-O-R-D, capitalized, meaning Jehovah God. He is sovereign. He is the one true God. He is the one true and living God. And so when we consider God, we consider who He is, we consider all that He has done for us, really the only response to any of that should be, praise the Lord for His goodness. Just praise the Lord. We should be walking around all day just praising the Lord because The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You see, that's why we were created. We were created to praise Him. It's not something that we get the option to do. We are commanded to praise Him. We are to praise Him all the time. We weren't created and brought into this world for our own pleasures, to seek our own lust and to do the things that we want. We were put here to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 36, the Bible says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Everything in this life, when you boil down to it, everything in this life should be and is supposed to be all about God. It's supposed to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ, not about us, not about us, not about our wants and our desires, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our duty to praise God. The 24 elders in heaven give us a visual of that in Revelation chapter 4, in verses 10 and 11. He says the 4 and 20 elders fall down before Him. They fall down and worship Him, right, that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you say, "Why am I here? Why am I here? Why was I created?" That's exactly why we're here. To give God the glory, to give God the pleasure. That's why we are here. So today we're going to look at this psalm, and we're just saying, as a reminder, that we just need to praise God. Why? Because He's worthy of our praise. Amen? And so the first thing I want you to see here is we're to praise God because of His creation. We're to praise God because of His creation. Look here in verses 6 and 7. In verses 6 and 7 here in Psalm 33, it says, "By the word of the Lord," get that? "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses." Hey, we are to praise God. We're to praise the Lord, Jehovah God, because of His creation. Now, did you notice in that verse, it talks about power. Did you see the power? It says, "By the word of the Lord." There's power in the word of the Lord. There is power in creation when the Lord created everything. You see, you know, we just dropped some big old bombs on Iran, didn't we? Some bunker-busting bombs. Those things are powerful. They destroy things, but that has nothing. It doesn't compare to the spoken word of God in creation. There is no power compared to anything than the power of God. You see, there was no Big Bang. You know, out of that explosion, there's not going to come life from that explosion. That explosion, it destroys life. It destroys things. There's no such thing as the Big Bang theory. There's no such thing as evolving over millions and millions of years. That's not the case. You see, that is a lie of the devil. That is a lie to keep God out of everything. The Bible says, hey, that God spoke and it happened. The word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. It wasn't chaos and all of a sudden it became order. God is a God of order. And creation came about by the word of Jehovah God. He spoke and it happened. He made the heavens and the host of them. Hebrews 11 and verse number 3 says, "By faith." You see, none of us were there. None of us were there when that took place. But Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." By the word of God. You see, we have faith. We take God at His word. It's through faith that, and we believe that it was the spoken word of God. And the Bible goes on there, "So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." You see, things don't just evolve over time. Over millions and millions of years, it doesn't just happen that way. All God had to do was speak. All God had to do was speak His word, and creation happened. In Genesis chapter 1, it tells us. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Right? Some eight times in Genesis chapter 1, God said, God said, God said, and there was. Creation happened just like the Bible says. God spoke it into existence. And God reveals Himself through His existence. If you turn over, hold your place here because we'll be back. We'll turn over to Romans chapter number 1. In Romans chapter 1, look here in verses 19 and 20. You see, not only did God create everything, but He reveals Himself in creation. In Romans chapter 1, in verses 19 and 20 here, it says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." You see, you look around at the mountains and the sunsets and the beautiful things that God has created in this world, and you say, hey, God has showed us that. He has showed His beauty. He has showed us His creation. And He says here in verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Hey, the creation. He spoke the creation into existence. It's clearly seen. Those things do not just happen. This human body just does not evolve from something, from nothing, from something into a monkey to a man. It doesn't happen that way. Right? God spoke and it came to be. And it's clearly laid out. It says, "Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." They are without excuse. God has revealed who He is through His creation. And hey, if you want to choose not to believe God, you are without excuse. You see, not only did He make all things, but He sustains everything. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26, the Bible says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power." You see, there is power when God speaks. There is power in the Word of the Lord. Creation happened. He revealed Himself to us in creation. And you know what? The stars praise Him. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." That's the heavens. That's the heavens. They declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Now, I don't believe that we truly know how many stars and galaxies are out there, but they say there's like billions of stars and the same with galaxies. Who knows, right? I don't believe we know what's out there and all of what's out there. But you know who does? God knows. God knows. And in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26, He says, "He calleth them all by names." God knows every single one of them. God knows every single one of them out there. Hey, look, we get burdened down sometimes, don't we? By the cares in this life, by the trials and the storms in this life. Sometimes the devil gets us down, beats us down, whatever the case might be. But I want you to know, hey, the same God who created these stars, the same God that knows all these stars by name, is the same God that created you and I. He is the same God who sits on the throne, Jehovah God, who created everything, and He knows us. He knows us. And you know what He says in Matthew 10:30? He says this, He says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." He knows exactly how many hairs I do not have, or I used to have. But no matter what, He still knows them. He knows them. That's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of God that I'm saying. That's the Jehovah God that we need to be praising. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you ever just watched the sunset and just praised God? Just look at the glory of God. Somebody sent me a picture last year about a sunset here, and it had to do with the Northern Lights or something, if I remember right. And I said, "Where's that at?" And they said, "That was here in Georgia." I said, "How is the Northern Lights here in Georgia?" "I don't know." But it was just an amazing view. Have you ever looked at the mountains or anything and just like, "How great Thou art," right? We sing the song, but do you really mean it? When we look around and we see everything that God has created, "How great Thou art." And some of you have just witnessed the birth of some grandchildren. And hey, the newborn baby, right? Praise God. God is good. His goodness, His mercy. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, He says, "He hath made everything beautiful in His time." He has made it. It shows the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And God created all things for Himself. Every blade of grass that we mow weekly, every blade of grass, every mountain peak, every drop of rain, everything exists. The suns, the planets, the stars, all exist. Why? Because God spoke it. God's Word, there is power in God's Word. In Job 26:13, He says, "By His Spirit He hath garnished the heavens." There is power in the Word of God. And you know what else is great? Turn over to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. The Word of God, the breath of God, is life-giving. He breathed the breath of life into man. And man became a living soul. In Genesis 2, look at verse 7. It says here, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Right? He created man, he created Adam, but he had no life, and so God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That same breath that created the heavens and all the glory and everything in this life is that same breath that gave us life. That same breath. That's why you matter to God. That's why you matter to God. That's why your life is of value to God. We're not just evolved animals. You are God-breathed. And here's the thing. When, you know, they teach that evolution stuff. And they teach that. They tell people they're just an evolved animal. And you wonder why they live their life with no purpose or no meaning, right? When you tell somebody they're just animals, they're going to act like animals, right? But when you tell them, hey, you were created by a loving God. You were created by Jehovah God, the one who created the heaven and the earth and all the stars in the sky. And it's that same God who created you, and He loves you, and He has a purpose for you. And you want a reason to praise God? Praise God for His creation. He made all the stars and everything, and He put them right where He wanted it, but He still chose to breathe into us life. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thought. You know, I wanted to talk to you as well here. The
Bible talks about the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
In 1 John 5:7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." I want you to see how these three were involved in the creation. And so if you're in Genesis 1, if you're not, turn over to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, and go right there in verse number 1. I want you to see this here about the greatness of God's creation that we need to be praising Him for. In Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." This God here, this is the Father. God the Father. All right, so we got God the Father created everything, right? So hold your place here and turn over to John 1. John 1. New Testament, John 1. Look here in verse number 1. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning." In the beginning of what? In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. That beginning. That's the beginning we're talking about. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We're talking about the Word here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. Look at verse 2. It says, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now, how do I know this is Jesus? Because in verse 14, He tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus Christ. And so what we have here is the Word, Jesus Christ. He created all things. So in Genesis 1:1, we have God the Father. In John 1:1 and 1 through 3 here, we have God the Son. And if you turn back to Genesis 1 and look in verse number 2, you're going to see the Spirit here. You're going to see all three involved in creation. God the Father, God the Son, and Genesis 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep," and right here, "and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in creation, creating these other things. And what is even it just keeps going. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, since you're right there, look at that as well.
Not only was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit involved in the creation of the heaven and the earth, He is also involved in creating us, in creating you. In Genesis 1:26, the Bible says there, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." He's talking about the Trinity there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We were created. We are created in the image of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say we need to praise the Lord for His creation, because it's a wonderful creation. He created us for a purpose, for a reason. He loves us. He wants us to serve Him and worship Him. And then we were created in His likeness. Amen and amen. That's good stuff. But let's move on to point number two here. We should praise the Lord because of His command. Because of His command. Look here, if you get back over to Psalm 33.
Get back over to Psalm 33.
And look here at verses 8 and 9. Because of His command here, verse 8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast."
God is to be praised because of His creation. The heaven, the earth, you and I. And this wasn't a long process. God spoke and it happened. It wasn't over billions of years. God spoke and it was done, just like He said.
"Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." We are to be in awe of the Lord Jehovah. Just think back and just sit back and just think about that.
The Creator of all things says we are to be in awe of Him.
But we look around the world today, that's not the case, is it? People deny Him, people reject Him, whatever the case might be. But at one day, all the inhabitants of the earth, at one point or another, are going to stand in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ, either in repentance or in judgment. If you could flip over to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Look here, a couple verses here in Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. At one point, everybody is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You will stand and give an account. You'll stand as a saved person or as a lost person, but every person will stand in judgment. Philippians chapter 2 in verse number 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him," Jesus Christ, "and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is exactly who He said He is, the Son of God. The very Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. You can deny Him now. You can reject Him now. But there is coming a day when every knee will bow. And in that great day, all the inhabitants of the earth are going to cry out. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, in verses 16 and 17, that the mountains and the rocks, they're going to be talking to, "Hey," and said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" See, when God speaks, it happens. When God speaks, it is done. When He commands, it stands fast. And it happens exactly the way it happens. Everything in the Bible is going to happen exactly the way it happens. Now, we live in a world that is full of lies and deceit. And we have leaders who don't keep their promises and they don't keep their word. But not God. Not God. God keeps His word. God keeps His word. And we are to praise Him because of it. We are to praise Him because of His command. I'll move on to the third thing here. We need to praise Him because of His counsel. His counsel in verses 10 and 11. If you get back over to Psalm 33, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught.
He maketh the devices of the people to none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations.
Now, the word heathen here that we're talking about here, it refers to the godless nation. The godless society, the people, the godless nations. And it refers to the systems of the world that operates in rebellion against God. Those who rebel against God, those who do not want anything to do with God, those that shake their fist at God and turn the other blind eye to God, those are the people that we are talking about. And we see this in our country. We see this in our country. We see people who are elected officials who are doing everything they can to destroy our country. It still makes no sense to me. You got a group of Democrats and a group of Republicans, and they both claim they want the best for the United States, but they couldn't be more opposite. It makes no sense. But we can see how that plays out. But God says this. He says, I will bring their counsel to nothing. I will bring their counsel to nothing. In Proverbs 19:21, the Bible says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Right, man's ways is not going to stand. God's ways is what's going to stand. And so what is my point today? My point is we don't need to panic. Hey, look, there's another COVID coming. It won't be called COVID, but it'll be something else. But we're warned in the Bible, we're not to panic. We're not to fear of those things going on us around us in this world. Hey, we look around and we're like, evil seems to be winning. The world seems to be winning. What do we need? Hey, we don't need to worry. There are many devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Have you read the Bible lately? The Bible tells us there's going to be bad things coming. There's going to get a whole lot worse. Right? We have the warnings right there, but we also have the promises of God, and we just need to praise Him. Think about that same God who confounded Pharaoh and who silenced Nebuchadnezzar and who overthrew Herod. That same God is still on the throne. That same God is still in control. And it's that same God who sits up there and laughs at times. The Bible says in Psalm 2:4 that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. While we're down here squirmishing and fearing what's going to happen to me, what's going to this? God's up there in wrath. He says, don't you listen to my word? Just praise Him. Just praise the Lord. The counsel of the Lord is what's going to stand. You know, we get into the CNN news and the Fox News and the Weather Channel, throw that one up in there too. All they're doing is fear-mongering everybody. Right? They're fear-mongering you to stay in your safe place instead of trusting in His counsel. God created the world. He's sovereign. He rules over it. He has a plan for everything. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Hey, turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. In Isaiah chapter 46, look here starting in verse number 10. Isaiah 46 in verse number 10. The Bible says here, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Hey, the rapture hadn't happened yet. It could happen this very next moment, but there's still things, you know, there's still things to do. He says here, my counsel shall stand. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also, right here, bring it to pass. The words in His word, the words in His book here are going to come to pass. The rapture is going to happen, and after the rapture, hey, if you're left behind here, there's going to be a terrible time. A 7-year tribulation poured out on this earth. And the Bible warns that if you've heard the gospel, you're not going to believe and repent on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to believe the lie of the devil, of the Antichrist, and it'll be too late. The time to get saved is now. All these things, He says, He will bring to pass. Moving on here, He says, I have purposed it. I will also do it. I mean, that's those amazing promises right here. He says, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it.
And then he says, "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness." Hey, listen. Those that have rejected the truth, listen. Those that have denied the Lord Jesus Christ, listen. Those that want to be in your own self-righteousness, you better hearken to the truth of God's Word, because the time is coming when it's going to be short. The time is coming when it's going to be too late. The time is coming when the old heart stops a ticking and you go off into eternity. Heaven or hell is what waits. And verse 12, he says, "Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness." Isn't that amazing? He says, "I bring near to you my righteousness, my word." Look around in the earth. Hey, the word of God, the gospel's been preached here over and over again. He brings you near to righteousness, but you have that choice. He's given us a free will. You have that choice. You can receive it. You can reject it. But he says, "It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory." Hey, we need to praise the Lord. His goodness is amazing. We need to praise the Lord because of His counsel. His counsel will stand. All right? We got to move on here. The next one I have here is, We need to praise the Lord because of His choosing. If you look there in verse number 12, back in Psalm 33. Because of His choosing, in Psalm 33, verse number 12 here, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Now, the original recipients of this promise, we know, is the believers of the nation of Israel. That's who he's writing to. Those that God had that covenant with Israel. And under that covenant, the Lord chose the Israelites to be His chosen people. Exodus 19:5 says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine." Israel was the only nation that worshipped Jehovah God, that worshipped the true God, the creator of all things. All the other nations worshipped false gods. They had idols and other false gods that they worshipped. But now this promise is still here for us today. The promise is for any nation that chooses the Lord as their God, that they can claim these blessings here. And we have a New Testament verse in Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 2:9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." You see, we are His inheritance. We are chosen people through Jesus Christ, but not because we're good people, not because we live in a great nation, but because of His mercy, but because of His graciousness, because of His love. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7, in verses 6 through 8, there it says that the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number, but because the Lord loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we praise. The God that we praise is that God who died on that cross of Calvary for all of our sin debt. He paid it all on that cross. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And if you come to Jesus Christ for salvation, you receive Him as your Savior, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you. He will give you eternal life. He will give you a home in heaven, and He will give you forgiveness of all your sins. There is true life, liberty, and happiness only in Jesus Christ. But we need to praise Him because He's good. He says here, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, we know our nation was founded on biblical principles, and we were once a nation whose God was the Lord. But I tell you, we pushed Him out. We pushed Him out. We pushed God out of everything. We pushed Him out of the government. We pushed Him out of the schools. We pushed Him out of the churches. We pushed Him out of our homes. Right? And then we turn on the evening news and we see there's another shooting or there's another... This happened, and we say, "Well, where's God in all this?" Right? Where's God? Right? Well, we kicked Him out of everywhere. Right? We kicked Him out of everywhere. We didn't want Him there. And the only thing that I'm still amazed at is as much
wickedness. I mean, we still murder over 1 million babies a year by way of abortion in this country. All the wickedness that goes on in this country, I'm still amazed that there still must be, God's hands must still be on us somehow, because it can get a whole lot worse. It can get a whole lot worse, you know. But the promise is here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's the great promise, right? The great promise.
We all want to claim it, right? Every church in America wants to claim it.
But let me tell you, there are things in that verse that says we got to do first. We got to do some things first. We got to humble ourselves first. But that's the hard part. We being Americans, we don't want to humble ourselves. We are full of pride in our country. But that's the very first thing it says, is to humble ourselves and to pray. Those two things right there will keep multitudes of people from ever repenting. Pride. Praying. Seeking His face. Turning from our sin. He says, then will I hear from heaven. And only then will I hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But let me tell you, the blessing isn't gone for America. All it's waiting on is the repentance. And it starts right here. It starts in the church. Moving on here, we got to praise the Lord
because of His concern.
Because of His concern. If you're back there in Psalm 33, look there in verses 13 through 15. It says, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Another reason to praise the Lord is because He is concerned with what's going on this earth. He is concerned with what's going on in our lives. Now, at times we might think and we might get tempted to think that God is in heaven. He's in some far off place and He's too far away and He's not concerned with anything that's happening in our lives. But let me tell you, He knows everything about us. He knows everything about you. He is concerned about us. And the Bible gives us verse after verse about it. In 1 Peter 5:7, He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Hey, we need to praise the God. Praise God. He cares about us. We need to praise the Lord because in His time, He's going to execute perfect justice on this earth. Right? We look around at the evil. Hey, God's got it under control. He's a sovereign God. He is in control of everything. But the Bible tells us we just need to be faithful. We just need to remain faithful. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord. In Galatians 6:9, He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, just be faithful. Just finish the course. Just go strong. Just go to the end. Right? God knows all things. He is concerned about us. The next point here, we need to praise the Lord because of His conquest. Verses 16 through 19 there, it says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God's eye is upon them that fear Him, upon Him who honor Him, those that obey Him, those that trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Right? We're not talking about how the devil watches. He seeks and he goes about seeking whom he can destroy. But we're talking about how God watches us like a father over His children with mercy and with love. And so we don't need to worry about the things going on in the world and the things that go on around us. God is in control. And we sang that song, His eye is on the sparrow. If He's concerned about a sparrow, let me tell you, He's concerned with you and I. And I got one last thing here. Because of His coming. We need to praise the Lord because of His coming. Verses 20 through 22 there says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
For our hearts shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee.
Now when life comes at us, and when the enemy is attacking, and the devil is attacking, and your flesh is attacking you, when life troubles come at us, we need to not turn to our own strength to get through those things. What do we need to do? We just need to trust Him. We need to just take it before the Lord. Too many times, we take things into our own hands, and when we do that, we fail. Right? We that'll bring even more fear, and that'll bring even more frustration. But when we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, remember the promise. He says He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to leave us. He's with us wherever we go. Even when we go home and we're all by ourselves or we're in a crowd of people, He's right there with us. He's not leaving us. He says He's coming back for us. In Titus 2:13, He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, we need to praise Him because He's coming back for us. He's not leaving us in this lost and dying world. He says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel while you're here, but there's coming a time when I'm coming to get you. Hey, that could be today. You see, we need to be looking for Jesus Christ. We don't need to be looking for the Antichrist. The Antichrist isn't coming until after the rapture. We need to be looking for Jesus Christ. That is our hope. That is the believer's hope that, hey, that Jesus is going to take us out of here. We need to be looking for Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if He goes and prepares a place for us, He tells us, hey, I'm not leaving you there. I'm coming back for you. I'm coming to get you. Amen. Jesus is coming again, and it could be today.
Praise the Lord for that.
Praise God if He does come today, but praise God if He doesn't. If He tarries,
we're reminded here today that He is worthy of our praise. He is so worthy of our praise, and there's a whole lot more we can get into today. We have so much to be thankful for. And so I hope this is a reminder for us that we have so much to praise the Lord for. So let us just praise the Lord for all of His goodness. As the Bible says, for the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Let's pray.